Welcome to the Stranger Still podcast. I'm Kathleen.
And I'm Miles.
And here we are back doing our character by character rewatch as we follow the 11 main characters through season 1 through 4.
It's all about the cast and the characters. That's what we love about Stranger Things in the end.
That's why it's so good. They just picked an excellent cast. Mm-hmm. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, StrangerStill22. Subscribe, share, review us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Our fourth character, the Russian brute terminating, Demogorgon decapitating, the coffee contemplating, police chief, you don't mess around with Jim Hopper!
And if you have previously listened to our podcast, you do know that Hopper is one of my favorite characters. Mm-hmm. I wrongly assumed, though, that this would be an easy delve into Hopper. I thought it would be a really easy episode. But as I was making my notes, he is just such a deep character. I don't know why I ever thought it was going to be easy.
There's a lot going on with Hopper. And I look forward to talking about the show, the tone that changes in the show from season 1 to season 4. Sort of obscures how kind of dark and sad Hopper's story actually
super
is.
Super dark and sad.
Well, let's get right into it.
All right.
Season 1, we meet Hopper, is super dark and sad. He's pill-popping, grumpy sheriff, moved back to Hawkins. We know there's some sort of loss in his life. And the first thing that happens in a long time as a chief of Hawkins is that Will Byers goes missing. And she doesn't really believe, Hopper doesn't really believe Joyce that, first of all, that he's missing at all.
Right. This is the worst thing that's ever happened in Hawkins, yeah. Ever.
Ever since Eleanor Gillespie got attacked by an owl whatever. And he definitely doesn't believe her that there's anything supernatural going on. And when they find the body, he is the one at Joyce's house. To tell her.
Long arms and it didn't have a face.
It didn't have a face. Joyce.
It didn't have a face.
Listen to me. Listen to me. After Sarah, I saw her too. And I heard her. I didn't know what was real. And then I figured out that it was in my mind. And I had to pack all that away.
And he delivers that so well. It is a stark contrast to the scene in the pilot. The pilot. I'm having trouble pronunciating words.
Even pronunciation.
In the pilot, he is very dismissive of her.
Oh, yeah,
in
absolutely.
General, he's not missing. What's Lonnie's number? And here he is very serious. And I've always felt like this is kind of what shakes him out of the 5-year bender.
Yeah.
Reality has hit again, this tragedy for someone that he cares deeply for.
And he really relates to Joyce too. Yeah. And I have to say, I kind of followed exactly what the Duffer brothers meant for us to follow, whereas I really didn't like Hopper in the first half of that first episode.
Right.
And then, gosh, so much happens just in the first episode. I know this isn't from the first episode, but you, by the end of the first episode, you start to actually like Hopper. Mm. And then you get to scenes like this where he's truly being very logical, but also very caring, truly trying to connect with Joyce in this moment while helping her cope with the death of her son.
Yeah. And he doesn't believe her, but he shows such compassion for Joyce there.
Yeah.
She says the thing with a face, and he says, okay, elaborate on that. Mm-hmm. he's like, I guess. He doesn't just shoot her down.
No.
There's something very touching about that.
Yeah, very caring, very touching, very empathetic.
Yeah, which is not the guy that we thought we were getting in the first episode.
The Duffer brothers really had me there.
He comes to believe Joyce further as he investigates, leading him all the way through series of things. He sees that the coroner was sent home. The state trooper was told to call in the body. He eventually is at the morgue and cuts open the body of the dead boy to find out that it is fake. And then he doesn't go to Joyce right then. He goes and breaks into the lab and views, the gate, mm-hmm. the rip. Why? Okay. Try to help me with this. why does Hopper go so far? I mean, he commits multiple beatings of multiple authority figures. He's cutting open a kid in a morgue. Why does he go so far?
Honestly, I think there is a natural progression as you're watching. I mean, so much just, again, from the first episode, that pilot episode. Mm-hmm. He's set up to believe that something more sinister is going on. Mm-hmm. But from the time he interviews Lucas Mike Dustin, which brings him to Will's crashed bike, mm-hmm. he knows from that moment that something serious is going on. And then it just builds from that. So we have the connection because we know about his daughter, so he's able to empathize with Joyce. So he's more involved in this case already. But then other things, he finds Benny shot when, again, nothing has ever happened in this town. He goes to the lab, the Hawkins, the lab. And, when he questions them and they all lie to him, so he's he knows that they lie to him. He sees the little scrap of the medical gown on the culvert too, which brings him to the lab. Really, all of that leads him to know that something sinister is going on. And the fact that he finds out that all of these outside people are dealing with this case, this dead Will.
Yeah.
I think it's natural for him to be brought to this moment.
He's got a healthy anti-authoritarian streak as well. You know, the man, because we know it's his time in Vietnam. So he definitely doesn't trust what the government is telling him or doing. He's not taking that at face value. I also contend that there is some frequency with that he realizes with Joyce that she is not acting in the exact way she would react to a death of her youngest child.
Yeah.
There is some frequency where he's she's really committed to that faceless monster thing. There is something weird here. I feel maybe it's even subconscious, but
even though he's not ready to believe the supernatural aspect yet,
right.
You're right. There's something subconscious.
He just knows. So he goes to Joyce, tells her she was right in one of the most satisfying moments that hooked me into Stranger Things. Yes. Characters talk to each other. And I love that.
Are you referring to when he shows up and he goes,
you were right.
After getting
all the unscrewing all the lights.
Wait, the look on his face. Oh gosh, that is so perfectly executed, David Harbour. You crushed it there. He sees all of the lights and they have to unscrew. Oh my gosh.
So Hopper and Joyce, they go visit Terry Ives. They don't know that it's Eleven's mom. They don't even know who Eleven is, but their investigation leads them through various places. They bail Jonathan out of jail. They go get the kids at the junkyard, and then they all, share all the information at the buyer's house, and they get this plan for this sensory deprivation tank for this little girl.
Which, again, is what hooked you to Stranger Things, that they share information.
Exactly. Eleven locates Will in the Upside Down, and Hopper says, okay, location achieved. I'm going to go get Will now. Leaves the kids at the school, takes Joyce reluctantly, and he gets to the lab, gets caught, and makes a deal with them. Mm-hmm. Which I always question this. He makes this deal, gives up the location of your little pet in order to save Will.
Yeah.
And it does work. It does save Will. We see the flashbacks of Sarah's tragic story.
Oh, only so heartbreaking.
Only once they are in the Upside Down do we start to actually see what happened explicitly with Sarah and her death and the loss of Hopper's daughter and marriage as they're saving Will's life with CPR.
Yeah.
Saving Will is what closes, or gives him at least some semblance of closure with Sarah's death, right?
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that. So nothing can ever bring his daughter back, but Will kind of ends up being that daughter he couldn't save. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't able to save his daughter who died of this horrible cancer, but he was able to save Luke
Will.
Lucas. He was able to save Will in the end. And I think that gives him this sense of purpose, this sense of reason to carry on.
Yeah, because he's a fixer. He's a doer. Mm-hmm. He's a saver.
He's a hero.
Yeah, he does say somewhere in there, it means there's a chance. Do you know what I would give for a chance?
Yeah.
He gets this at least semblance of that. And, one thing I didn't catch is it has been 5 years since Sarah died. She died in like 78 or 79, uh-huh. and the show was in 83. I didn't quite know how much time had passed, but that is there. So they save Will. Hopper does the CPR. He makes a deal with the lab. They're all sworn to secrecy, so mm-hmm. things can kind of stay the same. In the epilogue, however, we see that he hasn't told the lab exactly everything mm-hmm. as he puts a fresh pack of Eggos in a box in the woods.
You know what? Because why would he trust them?
Exactly.
He has a problem with authority.
Yeah.
It's funny because he is authority.
Yeah. So season two, we eventually find out, or we have it confirmed for us, that although Hopper's participating in the cover-up, taking Will to appointments at the lab and stuff like that, he's hiding the real whole thing from the farmers and the police. He's harboring Eleven at the cabin for a year.
Of course, as you do.
And they're going through a bit of cabin fever.
Yep.
They have those rules. Don't be stupid. Don't take risks. Rules. And Eleven is losing faith mm-hmm. in that. She travels outside just out of frustration because he can't say when soon is. And he is late a couple times mm-hmm. and, you know, breaks some promises. And one of those nights, they get in a major fight.
Oh, yes.
I go, and I never leave! Nothing ever happens!
Yeah, nothing happens, and you stay safe!
You lie!
I don't lie. I protect, and I feed, and I teach. And all I ask of you is that you follow three simple rules. Three rules. And you know what? You can't even do that!
And boy, does it escalate from there.
He grounds her. He's going to take away the TV, tries to get the TV, but she's using her powers to hold it down. Mm-hmm. And then he just destroys the TV, which is her like one connection to the outside. She goes absolutely insane after that and shatters the windows. We talked about this before, almost involuntarily, right? She's just in absolute pain.
Her anger, it just explodes outwardly.
Shatters the windows of the cabin. It had to be cold in there, in that cabin in October.
I love that without that, like, any windows. That's what you focused on, is that, gosh, it had to be cold in there. But, oh my gosh. I think this is a great scene. Yeah,
it's a brutal fight, and it is a great scene.
It's such a great scene because you think, like, okay, Hopper was a dad, so he's mm-hmm. got the experience as a father, but he doesn't have the experience of being a father of 11.
Yeah.
And, also, okay, so like 11 at this point has kind of filled the void of Hopper's late daughter. Mm-hmm. And he's like protective to a fault, which is why he gets so angry, which is like the worst reaction he could have had for her situation. Right. He is trying to control her basically the same way Papa was controlling her.
Yeah.
Which is the wrong way to act. And he has kind of been lying to her, you know, by just kind of skirting around, like, when she can leave.
Yeah, because what is the plan, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he's got her in this protective bubble wrap. You know, she's the same age as his daughter would have been. And he's got this romanticized vision of his daughter, you know, who passed away a long time ago. Eleven needs to experience the world, and Hopper is not calibrating for that.
No.
Now, Eleven did break the rules, and they, you know, they're just not talking. They're not a team, really. Yeah.
He is out of his league in this moment.
Yeah. I mean, there is an actual external force that mm-hmm. is looking for her at all times.
So he has reasons to be protective.
Yeah.
But.
And then the big mistake for Hopper is the next day when he goes to apologize, or he's mm-hmm. about to apologize, knocks on the door, he's like, "Hey, kid." And you can see his face, and he just kind of falls into it. He's unable to process his emotions, defaults to anger, and goes, "This place better be spotless!" You know, but he was about to apologize, and he doesn't.
That was such a hard moment to watch, too, because you know it's the right thing to do, but mm-hmm. he just can't do it because he's so stubborn.
Yep.
Like, that is one of the biggest parts of Hopper as a character, is he's a very stubborn person. Yeah.
And Eleven runs away. I mean, that's the final thing for her. But Hopper does not ever really find out about that runaway because he goes over to Joyce's house where they've got a little thing going on.
And that's kind of the problem, too, that kind of leads him to this, by the way. I just want to point out, like, he hasn't been there a lot. He's been so involved in this case, and he hasn't really been, like, as present as he should be. I mean, you have to like give him some understanding. There's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. But anyway, so sorry. Go ahead.
One of those things going on is that Will has a possessed mind flare, now memories.
You know, just little things.
One of the old now memories cases. And Hopper and Joyce, they have him draw with crayons. They realize that they all can, or Joyce realizes that they connect, and they're all of Will's crazy drawings. Hopper's like, those are vines. I know the perfect farm where those probably are. And I'm going to go drive away to dig into them. But he does not tell Joyce or Will or Mike or anybody what he's going to do. He leaves alone to go dig into the tunnels. He does so all by himself. Reaches a point and then goes inside of the tunnels. Why does he make this stupid decision?
Well, you know, I think like this is just a part of his character. So we know he's stubborn, and we know he's a hero, and that he always wants to protect people.
Yeah, he's the protector.
So I think has this fear and like this desperate need to always protect people that he's not willing to risk putting anybody else at risk. Yeah. And he always thinks that he has to do it by himself.
Yeah, like
he makes stupid decisions like this.
Yeah, I'm going to get rid of this for Joyce. Mm-hmm. You know, she's got this baggage. I'm just going to go just abolish it.
Yeah.
The digging was fine. The going in was the real problem.
Mm-hmm. He should have told somebody.
Yeah, it was one of those horror movie moments where the character,
What the hell are you doing?
Well, he is saved because luckily Joyce, Will, Bob, Mike, and the flame-throwing lab soldiers all figure out exactly where he is and light fire to the stuff as he's really about to die, right? I mean, they had the upside down has like vined him to the floor. Mm-hmm. He's brought to the lab where he is unfortunately present for the witness of the Will Flayer trap where all the soldiers die.
God, yeah.
The Demodogs come out of that gate and they're trapped in a room. And finally, the last thing he witnesses is, unfortunately, Bob Newby's sacrifice.
Bob Newby.
Which you talk about Hopper as the doer, as the saver, as the protector. You know that it hurt him to have to send Bob to do the thing.
Oh, God, but, so much.
But Bob made a good point. You can't do it. I can. Mm-hmm. You can't. Mm-hmm. He's the one who pulls Joyce away from the lobby as Bob is attacked by the Demodogs. We never really get a chance to hear Hopper say anything about Bob. So let's just take a moment here. What do you think? What is Hopper feeling about Bob before and after the death?
Well, he was never really close with Bob. And I think what he's feeling is his main feelings are the sadness he feels for Joyce, who has to go through this, probably a little anger at himself that he couldn't protect her from this loss. But I don't think that he like really mourned Bob's death the way that obviously the way that Joyce did, and not in like a heartless kind of way, but he has seen some stuff in his life.
Yeah.
Like that has allowed him to cope with death. He's seen death before. Mm-hmm. And his main concerns, even though we're all devastated by Bob Newby's death, his main concerns are for Joyce and the kids.
Well, I think he and Bob with that conversation where Bob basically says, don't wait for me, get them out. You know, he knows what Bob wanted. They're kind of aligned in that sort of thinking.
Damn, and that's a good point, babe.
An image that always sticks with me is Joyce mourning, just snot crying on the bed and Hopper's on the floor. And that just that image always sticks with me there. He can't do anything except for just exist in the same space as her. God, the Bob Newby death.
I like what you said, though. Like, he did what Bob wanted him to do.
Yeah.
And that probably gave him a lot of closure.
So they get back to the house. Now, remember, every single season, Hopper's plan is basically to tell the military what's happening. tell the government what's happening, because this is like some supernatural shit.
Yeah.
He's never on board with the kids' plans at first.
No. They always have to talk him into it because they're always right.
Yeah, exactly. The Demodogs come to the house, you know, after they figure out the Will Flayer, and Hopper is the one who notices Will tapping out closed gate in Morse code.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one who notices that.
It wasn't Mike.
It wasn't Mike. It's Hopper who notices. And then their position is compromised. 11 comes save them. There's a reunion there. Really, honestly, Hopper and Eleven's reunion isn't as big as Mike and Eleven's reunion there, because we've spent two seasons with mm-hmm. them, but they kind of take a next step in their relationship as they drive to their part of the plan, mm-hmm. which is Eleven closing said gate.
Mm-hmm. I've been stupid too.
I guess we broke a rule. I don't hate it, by the way, this whole look. It's kind of cool.
Bitch him.
Okay, sure. Bitch him.
Oh, this is such a good scene. You know, I like, so they start the scene off very lighthearted when he's like trying to calmly ask Hopper questions. Mm-hmm. And then Eleven explains the dangerous way she made it to Mama with the big truck and the nice man. And he's like, so let me get this straight. But he's like clearly trying not to freak out. Yep. I love that. I think we needed that, like, just lightheartedness after, you know, after losing Bob Newby. But gosh, the dynamic between Eleven and Hopper changes so much in this scene. And I think it's because, like, Hopper admits that he's wrong, but then he opens up about his feelings, mm-hmm. losing his daughter, which he's never shared with Eleven before, and then his fear of losing Eleven as well. And as far as we know, this is the first time he's ever opened up to Eleven in this way. And Eleven needs that.
Yeah.
I mean, her entire life, she's been living in this lab, being lied to about everything, having no real connections with a single person. She needs to have trust and openness. And yeah. Hopper gives it to her in this scene. It's pivotal, pivotal to their relationship.
Yeah, because he was treating her like Sarah, who was an 8-year-old. Uh-huh. Eleven is a 13-year-old. And there's something that they take a step in their relationship, like you said. There is just something powerful for me in the fact that not only did he not tell her about Sarah,
yeah,
he seems unaware that he didn't tell her.
Right.
He's like, I've never mentioned my dead daughter to you, and we've been living in a cabin for a year together.
Like, it finally occurs to him, like, oh my gosh.
Exactly. Like, subconsciously, I have been treating you like a little bubble wrap little kid. I think that's what, I mean, he definitely, like you said, pulls some punches there. There's some moment, she calls him stupid. He goes, yeah, I was stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the anger. It's not the authoritarian like figure that he was in the fight at the cabin and presumably many other times before that.
And basically what they're going to do too is like out of character for him as mm-hmm. well, because like, he always has to be the hero.
Oh, you're right.
He always has to be the savior, but he is bringing Eleven to close the gate, which he knows is really dangerous. And so it just makes the scene even more important.
Yeah. This is one of the best scenes of the whole series. I mean, that's no controversy right there, the bitching scene. But I like what you said. For Eleven, Hopper is now, you know, a guardian, a human. He's opened up to her in a way. He's not just the nicer warden of the prison.
No,
he's someone that is just something else.
He,
so
he becomes her dad from this moment.
He becomes her dad. Mm-hmm. Eleven does close that gate as Hopper shoots demo dogs off of the railing. You did good, kid. You know, that moment there.
Yes.
And the day is saved. And we see 1 month later at the Snowball, Hopper and Joyce share a cigarette and he comforts her, but she's still going through it deep. But just the fact that he's at the Snowball shows that he's caring about Eleven, because it's, you know, quote unquote risky, right?
Right.
To have her. Who approved her into this? She's not a student at that school.
I know. How
was
she just allowed to go in?
They
like really lax security there.
Lax security. I guess he is the police chief.
But he's essentially doing the same thing that Joyce is doing. Joyce is hovering because she's afraid to leave Will alone. He's kind of doing the same thing with Eleven.
That's the hovering parents spot. Okay, good call. All right, season 3.
Oh, yeah.
Season 3 is Hopper, Fat Rambo in a Hawaiian shirt.
Fat Rambo. So funny to me.
This is where we get that change of tone, you know, that for Hopper kind of obscures how the story is still pretty sad here. So Hopper's in this cabin. He's got to, lay low with...
Chunked up.
He's got to lay low with a 13-year-old. Well, two 13-year-olds, right? Yeah. Mike and 11, kissing constantly.
Oh, my gosh.
Keeping the door open three inches.
3 inches!
We also learn early in season three that we learn early in season three that he is in love with Joyce.
Oh, yes.
And do you think he's always been in love with Joyce, or do you think that kind of developed between seasons here, this 8-9 months?
Oh, I definitely think it developed. He clearly feels a connection with Joyce through season two. I mean, I feel like maybe there even is a little bit of jealousy in season two with Bob Newby.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of nerdy and Hopper has always been very successful with the ladies. Mm-hmm. But I think that grows. It definitely develops. He has feelings before and they increase until he basically falls in love with her.
Yeah. So you're saying from season two to three is the real ramp up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree with you. There's, he definitely hasn't been in love with Joyce since high school. You know,
no.
Some people do think that, and they've known each other since high school.
Yeah.
But there's a lot that goes on from middle school to, Hopper's obviously popular in high school. You know, Joyce wasn't popular in high school. He goes to Vietnam. He gets married. He has a kid. The kid dies.
He gets married and he has a child.
Yeah. So there's not a lot of romantic history between them. And I think he genuinely has respect for her especially after the two seasons. And from that respect and admiration for her grows this love.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he enlists Joyce's help to talk to Mike and 11. He does not follow her advice.
Not at all.
He scares the hell out of Mike.
Which is much more to his character.
The ends justify the means. Mike is out for at least a little bit, which I love. And then he goes back to Joyce, tells her he did follow her advice, and invites her to a celebration dinner. So doing some little lying. Now, some people say Hopper season three, these are, oafish behaviors. You know, he's yelling at Mike. He's the fat red tomato. He's lying to Joyce. People say it's out of character compared to season one and season two. Hopper, what do you think about that?
It just doesn't make sense. I don't agree with that at all. Okay, let's start with you just mentioned him yelling at Mike. He yells at the kids in season one when he's trying to get figure out where Will left them. He is that dad authoritarian figure. So that is 100% there. That's his natural state, okay?
Exactly.
We know that's his natural state. But also the other thing, with his behavior. So before he basically falls in love with Joyce, he has all these romantic trysts, these liaisons. None of them are ever serious since his marriage that fell apart, after the death of his daughter. And so it was very low stakes. But now he's gotta he actually has really strong feelings for Joyce and he has to romanticize her. Also, with what she's just gone through with Bob, and he's trying to be sensitive, and that's not something he's good at.
Right.
So it's natural that he would kind of suck at this.
Yeah.
And I don't know. To me, I love seeing him a little more vulnerable in this moment.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's the change of tone of the series that makes it feel different. Not that people say, they forgot how to write Hopper's character. That's something that people
say. Doesn't make any sense to me.
But you shouldn't all of a sudden become Fitzwilliam Darcy of romance with Joyce or Andy Griffith town sheriff. He's a jerk in season one. Heart of gold? Yes. But he is a jerk to almost everyone. In season two, he doesn't tell anybody about anything he's doing. Just handles it, right? He's going to keep 11 in that cabin forever. These are the things he does in season three, the lying and the deception and the kind of, pushing around. He does those things in season one and two.
Yeah.
Same guy.
Same guy. It just doesn't make sense.
Plus he's gone a little bit crazy spending 7 months in a cabin with two horny 14-year-olds.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know. This is not true to his character, just that kind of irritates me.
Totally agree. And they then go on the adventure. Well, Joyce stands him up at dinner, because she's got to study.
And he is pissed.
Got to study her magnet test.
Love this.
She shows up and they get in that fight. They basically fight throughout the whole adventure. They find out the lab is abandoned. They go to the mayor's office. They get beaten by a Russian brute. They take Alexei prisoner. They bring him to Murray in Illinois. They get all that information to Owens. And Joyce is like, well, the information is not enough. We got to go back. Throughout all of that, they are fighting.
In the best way, too. Yeah, it's exactly. So hilarious.
We talked in the Joyce episode. That's their courtship. Mm-hmm. They're kind of at like a sixth grade courtship because they don't know any other language with each other.
Yeah, and you just nailed it right there. They don't know any other language with each other. Mm-hmm. Yes, he has feelings for her, but this has kind of been their dynamic.
The whole time.
They just kind of argue back and forth, and now it's arguing with this like undercurrent of attraction. So like, gosh, I don't know. It's so funny.
So they get to the fair, and they figure out that the kids are not there. They're at the mall, and this is the first time they hear about the meat monster.
The meat monster.
Hopper steps on that little piece of the meat monster, which is in the finale. So all of season three, he has not known about the mind flayer or the meat flayer being back. Then they're in the Star Court, the food court. They're going to make their plans for the third finale in a row. Hopper's like, all you kids, get the hell out of here. Barely admitting that he could use some help from Dustin and Erica in how to navigate the Russian underground base. Why does Hopper, for three straight finales, never accept the help of any of the kids or teens?
Okay, and again, true to his character, just to show that he hasn't changed, Hopper is a protector. To him, it's unacceptable to risk anybody's life other than his own. He won't do that. But then also, okay, come on, people. They are just kids.
Yeah.
Like, true, they true. Shouldn't be it's, involved in this kind of stuff. And that's so ingrained in him, even though they know what needs to be done.
It makes sense that he thinks that way. It's so hard for me and a lot of the audience to think that way. Because to us, these kids are our protagonists, our battlers against the upside
down.
Yeah. During the Russian operation, they set a date. Him and Joyce, they finally come to some sort of romantic, potentially romantic understanding. They finish the plan out. It doesn't go well.
Does not go well for Hopper.
The Russian brute shows up. They get in a big fight. He pushes the brute into the thing, makes that Russian brute smoothie, as we called it on our rewatch.
As you called it. Okay. I think that was hilarious.
He can't get back to the control room, but Eleven is in danger. Dustin's screaming on the walkie, you have got to close the gate now. He locks eyes with Joyce, says, do it, turn the keys. She does, and he is evaporated, or at least so we think, at the end of season three. And rewatching, knowing that he comes back in season four, was this scene muted for you at all?
Not for me. Not for me at all. It was still just as heartbreaking to watch this time as it was the first time I watched it. So sad. Cry every time I watch this scene. So terrible. I can see how it makes it different for other people. I know for you specifically, it's hard because logistically you're like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Oh, I do not like the way Hopper came back to life. However, the impact of the end of season three is not affected for me because Joyce and Eleven still go through that.
Yeah.
The characters still have it happen to them. Even if 10 months from now, they are going to get Hopper back. They're still feeling this way, seeing this thing. And 9 months of grief is not nothing. You know, that's harsh conditions. So watching season three still impacts me greatly. It's just the way that he escaped, because why didn't anyone else in that room implement the jump over the railing plan?
Well, I'm so glad that it wasn't muted, because seriously, like, this is such a deep, heartbreaking scene and like so important to draw us in, to make us really like feel what they're going through.
When he's making eye contact with Joyce, he's not thinking, don't worry, I'm going to be able to escape over the railing.
No.
He is making the decision to die for them.
And he's giving her permission.
And that still has power.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. Well, then Hopper does not come back. That's it. Just kidding. He does.
He's gone.
He goes back. He's out for only one episode. He's not in that that premiere for season four. But then we find out in the second episode of season four that he jumped out of the way, was taken by the Russians, tortured, imprisoned, just absolutely beaten and stuff that you hate to watch, and I know that.
Oh God, I cover my face every time. I can't watch it.
He makes a deal with a Russian guard, Antonov, to escape. And he, Joyce, Murray, and Antonov have this whole plan where Yuri will get them back to America, back to Alaska, but they are all betrayed by Yuri, and it's horrible. And then they go to some sort of special prison, a prison inside of a prison, where Hopper, I mean, he's basically on Demogorgon death row.
I love that, Demogorgon death row.
And he's reflecting upon his life.
I've hidden myself in drugs and alcohol. And then people started coming into my life. This girl, Elle, and Joyce just happened, and I told myself they needed me. But that wasn't true. That's a lie. They didn't need me. I needed them.
God, this scene, it adds so much to Hopper's character, and I just, I freaking love it. And it added so much for me to do the rewatches as well. You look back at season one and so much about his character makes sense. The fact that he was in the military, he has that hero complex, all of that makes sense. Oh, and it also adds this extra horrible guilt layer to the death of his daughter too.
Yeah.
Which just makes that even more heartbreaking.
Talk about the Agent Orange and just the bad genetics that he presumes that he and all his battalion mates have.
Right. But the worst part about it, the most heartbreaking, is that he just he completely blames himself for everything. Yeah. Everything for his daughter, everything with Joyce. He says, everyone I love, I hurt. And mm-hmm. and he thinks really thinks that he deserves to die.
The headline of the speech at the very end was, I'm not cursed, I am the curse.
Yeah.
And he says they didn't need me, I needed them, as a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, he's the man, he's the protector, he's the fixer, and he's being selfish by needing them. He's saying that just I failed them by needing them, and that there's something deeply tragic and something that, like you said, explains his behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. For the seasons, he says he's cursed in the first episode.
He does. You're right. Yeah, the black hole.
When he's the black hole's in the bitching scene.
Yeah, okay.
But in the first episode, when he's with one of his trysts, as you said, that's a great word, by the way. He says, "Oh, you ever feel like you're cursed?" You know, he says that to the girl, and she's like, "Just tell me when you're coming inside." No connection there.
Yeah. Okay. I have to say, delving into Hopper's character, it really made me see some similarities between him and Max. Mm. I don't know. Did you notice that? Max is really stubborn in the same way that Hopper is really stubborn. There's definitely plenty of differences, but she also with her and Dear Billy, she feels like she doesn't deserve to live, and she feels like Billy's death is her fault. Wow. And then you have this kind of same thing with Joyce. He feels like everything is his fault. The reason his daughter died is his fault. The reason Joyce to him is inevitably about to die is completely his fault.
Fantastic insight. That connection really works. They also both have the same opinion about whether Mike and Eleven should be hanging out only to each other.
That's true.
But yeah, that is true. They're both very guarded for a dark reason that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they battle the Demogorgon as a team, kind of, but him and Antonov escape with the help of Joyce and Murray. Joyce mashing the buttons, Murray getting them in there, and there's this reunion. Joyce and Hopper reunite. That hug, I talked about it a lot on the rewatch. What, one night before he was given this speech about being the curse,
mm-hmm.
and here he's reunited with his love. They're... absence has made the heart grow fonder. While they were just setting a date for Enzo's on the 4th of July, last 4th of July, by now they are in true love. They just know there's no time to waste.
Yeah. Well, so that first moment when they see each other,
yeah.
when they reunite, they have that hug. The thing is, like, Hopper, by that point, he was like, maybe there's something else we can do to save them, right? He said all that before the Demogorgon thing.
Yeah.
But he never really thought they were going to get out of it alive, though.
True.
So, like, seeing Joyce is such a shock to him. It's like he's in a dream, or like he's coming home. That's what I saw on his face. It was like he was coming, like, Joyce is home, the home that he never thought he was going to see again.
I also think that there is some acceptance there that he is not the curse, that he is worthy of being saved, that his value is not just as a fixer, protector, or doer, but part of the team, part of the group that is going to get through life, mm-hmm. you know, with his partner, Joyce, and with his awesome daughter who has superpowers. He needing them isn't bad. I think that he feels that in that moment.
Yeah. The fact that she just like came all the way to Russia from California to save his life, that puts value on his life that he was like, he had no value for his life before.
Yeah. And she says at some point in there, like, I knew the risk of doing this. I did this because you are worth it to me.
So that was like their first encounter, but then they go back to the church and they have the kiss. And guys, I know we covered this a lot with the Joyce episode, but dang, David Harbour is the one who makes this steamy and believable and has us in that, like, that anticipation for the moment they're actually going to kiss. The way he slightly leans in, not once, but twice within their conversation, you're just like on the edge of your seat, like, come on, just kiss already. And then they finally do, and it's like fireworks. Oh my gosh. His acting in this scene is so fantastic. I think better than Winona Ryder's, but they both do an excellent job.
They do. Fireworks is exactly. Happy 4th of July tomorrow, everybody. Better fireworks on this show than you'll see at the whatever
Hell
event
yeah.
you'll be at tomorrow. But they kiss, but they actually go back to the prison.
Right.
To do more damage to the hive
mind.
They
just escaped, but let's go back.
Yeah, and there's a moment where Joyce gets to save Hopper. Hopper puts himself really in, honestly, Bob's position of being killed by the Demodogs. Joyce saves him. They helicopter out. It's a wonderful success. Vecna has been defeated, and there's no need to even continue.
I guess we don't need a season 5.
No. Obviously, he gets back. That reunion he has with Eleven is so powerful. Mm. One thing I'm grateful for, so we had, 3 years between Hopper and Eleven crying in the parking lot about Hopper's death.
Right.
And then her and Aaron Hopper being reunited. So that holds a lot of weight to us. When people...
Oh, 3 years for us,
Three real-time years. So it holds a lot of weight. Like, they're finally reunited.
Mm-hmm.
In binge watching in the future, people will still have to wait a long time. Like, I like that. I like that the reunions for Joyce and for Eleven with Hopper come so late. Like, it's like
you go
7 hours before he kisses Joyce or before he hugs Joyce.
Because the season is so long.
And like 9 hours before he... I like that.
Yeah.
Give us some time to stew in the absence. If he had seen them in the second episode, that would have muted things.
Yeah, I agree.
So season 5 for Hopper. So the town and everybody thinks Hopper is dead. He has a death certificate. He's got a funeral. Jason memorialized him at the assembly. How is this going to work?
Okay, well, you got me there because I have no idea. Honestly, like, how... Well, how are they going to start season 5? I mean, is it going to start like shortly after we ended season 4?
Yeah.
Is it going to start a couple years down the road? Are him and Joyce going to be married? I mean, is Owen still alive to be able to somehow like on paper make this work the way he did with Eleven's birth certificate?
He's in Sullivan's custody at the end there.
Yeah.
Here's my pitch. Okay, we cut to the crack.
Okay.
A hand comes up.
Like a... Big
no, like Hopper, big. Hopper's hand, and he pulls himself. He's clearly covered himself in charcoal to make it seem like he was down there the whole time. The whole town stops staring at him. One guy coughs, and Hopper zooms in on Hopper's face, and he goes, "It's hot down there."
My God!
And then he's back.
Yeah, I think
plot hole solved.
I think let's kind of let the Duffer brothers take over from here.
I think honestly, the government, my serious answer is the government should say that, tell the truth. Yeah, Russia took over and had a base underneath the mall and took Hopper to Russia, and now we just got him back. That's actually the better truth than there's an interdimensional demon who could snap your kids' bones at any time if they're mentally broken in any way.
Yeah, but are the is it going to be safe for the military to know about Hopper or Eleven? I mean, they were just trying to kill her.
That's a good point. There's factions in the military that are trying to kill Eleven. Mm-hmm. You know what? I think we should leave this to the Duffers.
I think you're right.
All right. Well, that is Jim Hopper. Great points today, babe. Just really your favorite character.
Thank you.
So you're locked in. We will be back for Nancy.
Next.
And I'm really excited for Nancy. That's going to be a really, really good
There's
one.
There's so many good characters to cover here. I can't wait.
All right. I'm Miles.
I'm Kathleen.
Okay.